Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the...
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet, sharing our living, our dying, our birth, and we won't stand by watching her die.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak with your host, Beth Miller. All points of view must be brought to light if we're to reach the wisest solutions to challenges we face. Guests on Your Turn to Speak have unusual insights to bring to the collective conversation. They have been invited because of the positive impact of their loving presence on Earth. Though their ideas may be hidden by the glare of the mainstream focus, their perspectives are guaranteed to inspire and enrich us all. And now, here's your host, Beth Miller.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to Your Turn to Speak. I'm your host, Beth Miller. The topic of our program this evening is floral essences, and we will be hearing from Katrina Martin, who has acquired an expertise about them based on her own personal experiences. Katrina Martin's lifelong interest in nature and her good fortune to live in areas abundant with natural beauty led her to her profession as a floral designer and subsequently to her study of floral essences. As the song goes, you can learn a lot of things from the flowers. Katrina will speak to us about some of the lessons flowers teach, along with the wisdom and healing energies they offer us. It is my pleasure to introduce her, Katrina Martin. Katrina Martin, it's your turn to speak.
Well, thank you, Beth, very much for being here. I hadn't heard that song before, and I was very touched by that. It's very inspirational.
Well, thank you.
I think I'd like to start off, if it's okay, to give you a little bit about maybe my background. Is that all right?
Oh, that would be great. A great place to start.
Okay. Well, when I was a little kid, I had the good fortune to live in a cottage in the summertime, which was a converted boat house, and my grandparents lived next door. And all around us were fields of beautiful wildflowers. So I used to go out and pick little bouquets and take them to her in my grubby little fists, and she would always be very gracious and smile and take the flowers and put them in cute little vases and put them on her windowsill. So that was my earliest exposure to flowers. And then later on, I became a floral designer. And at that point in time, I hadn't really done much at all with my healing path, at least not consciously. But I got into floral design, and one of the things you learn in floral design is when you pick up a stem of flowers, you don't just start putting it into the arrangement any old place. You look at it, and you try to see where the natural bent of the flower would best go in the design, and then you place it accordingly. So if it's a stem that has a nice, graceful, flowing curve in it, you don't put that, usually anyway, in the middle of your arrangement to be the tallest flower and whatever. You stick it on the side where it can fall over the vase and do its thing. So my point in saying that is because of that, I started paying more attention maybe to flowers.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I got into more of my healing path. I studied feng shui, and I learned a lot from that. I studied Reiki, and I studied shamanism, and then some things happened in my life, and I went through a traumatic divorce, and from there, I started using, I think, flower essences on a more regular basis. I mean, really, I mean, before I knew a little bit about it, but this time around, I really wanted something that would help me to deal with what was going on in my life that was pretty traumatic. So I guess that's my introduction later on in life to floral essences. Oh, and the other thing that I want to mention briefly is the information that I'm going to present tonight actually comes from Molly Sheehan and Green Hope Farm Flower Essences. They're the ones who provided the essences that I've taken for many, many years. So I'm sure there are other equally adept floral essence makers out there, but I'm speaking, what I'm saying is from my experience with Molly Sheehan and her flowers.
Katrina, could you just repeat that once more? And if you want to give the website for this source of yours for the floral essences.
This, she has a guide, and it's called A Guide to Green Hope Farm Flower Essences. And then her name is By Molly Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N. And the website is www.greenhopeessences, and that's all one word, all small letters, .com.
Thank you. Because, you
welcome.
Know, in case our listeners might be inspired to order some floral essences, they would want to order it from a reputable place.
Yes,
so,
very definitely.
So your original love for flowers helped you to decide to become a floral designer, and in the course of learning the art, the artistic aspects of floral design, did you have any other training in the floral design work before, simultaneous to your other spiritual path of the Reiki and...
Yes, and I went back to school. I have a bachelor's degree in human services, but my major was aging services, and at that time I didn't feel I wanted to use that. So I ended up going back to school for a year to study floral design, and as a result of that, I ended up working for several different floral designers, and then I opened my own small business out of my home.
Oh, that's great. Well, I wonder if you could just go into a little bit more depth about what are floral essences and how do they work?
Certainly. Well, this is from my understanding of floral essences, and I want people to be sure and keep that in mind, okay? Flowers, of course, add joy to our world. Whether we see them dotting the roadside or growing in our own backyard gardens. And besides their color and fragrance, flowers offer another gift to us. All of life is composed of energy, and it vibrates at different frequencies. The highest vibration of each plant is its blossom. In order to survive in different climates, plants had to evolve in various ways. For example, desert plants develop different strategies than plants living in tropical or temperate environments. And these solutions that flowers developed as a result of their survival challenges became a part of their vibrational pattern, which is transferred to humans and animals through flower essences. And I'm going to pause there because I want to see if, Beth, you have any question you want to insert from that.
Well, I think what I'm taking from what you've said so far is the blossom is, did I hear you say the blossom is the most important part of the floral essence process?
Yes.
Right.
From the blossom, because that contains the concentrated energy, then the flower essence can be developed. Yes. Would you like me to go on?
Just to clarify then, of course, it's pretty clear what you've said so far that the actual regional ecosystem has a lot to do with how plants have evolved and grown. And like you said, plants on a desert have developed in a much different way as plants along a stream or whatever. So, yes, do go on. We're following you.
All right. Plants carry within themselves a vibrational message, which our own energetic or electrical system, if you want to call it that, can use as a blueprint. And this blueprint enables us to have better health. It also helps us remember our true nature and oneness with our Creator, because plant evolution is the outward expression of the plant's own return path to God. I think that's pretty wonderful. Not only does the plant have a blueprint for us to untangle some of the knots, and I'll talk about that a little later, in our systems, but also it helps us on our return path to God.
Interesting. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by blueprint.
Okay. Plants have a vibration, okay? And this vibration contains within it, and I mentioned this a little further on in my talk, the plants contain within that vibrational message also the understanding that they developed as a result of where they evolved from. Like a desert plant might have a message of overcoming adversity or something to that nature. Maybe a tropical plant would have another type of message that would be equally important for humans to learn. But human beings can use these as a blueprint. In other words, a blueprint is it's maybe an English word that helps explain as close as we can what the plant and our interaction is. We read the blueprint the plant offers.
So it's definitely the blueprint that you're speaking of is on a vibrational level.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Like, for example, in the human body, we have DNA, which might be considered kind of a genetic code for who we are, but I think that there's even more of a spiritual component to who we are, you know, beyond our biology. Would you agree?
Yes, and that's the same with plants too. They hold that as part of their evolutionary process.
Right. When we had a conversation recently, Katrina, you talked about illusion versus reality.
Yes.
In terms of the floral essences, and I wonder if you could go into that a little bit.
Okay. I am kind of covering that a little bit later, but we can do it now if you want to, and then if I'm repeating myself, that's probably okay.
Well, actually, you know what I would rather do? I would rather go in the sequence that you would feel the listeners would be able to follow more easily.
That's kind of how I've plotted this out, really, because it's a little complicated at first go-around, and if you take it in a sequential order, it's a little easier, I think, to understand.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead, and if there's a spot where you want me to pause, just jump in and say, could you stop there or whatever.
All right.
Well, we talked about the blueprint, and now we interact constantly with the world around us in an energetic way. We know when something feels good, whether it's a place or a relationship, and we can do this because our electrical or energetic nature is reading the data, or the blueprint, if you want to call it that, and giving us feedback right away on what we're processing. And animals and children are naturally discerning in this way, and they read the data, and they immediately act on it. You know right away if a kid is not happy with something you're doing. But if an adult is in that situation, we're conditioned to be more diplomatic and maybe not say what we really think about the situation and so forth. So
right.
we're kind of conditioned over time to maybe not pay so much attention to what the data around us is really saying to us. But
mm-hmm.
we are not just physical bodies. We also have energetic systems. Mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical energy patterns. And these can flow in a harmonious way, but electrical tangles, or knots, as Molly calls them, can present problems in the flow of this energy. And these
mm-hmm.
knots are really the result of illusions that we have. They're false
mm-hmm.
beliefs about ourselves and our relationship
mm-hmm.
to God. And an example of one of those might be, well, I'm too short compared with, you know, the norm. Everybody else for a woman is like 5'10" now or something, and I'm 5'2" and I'm too short. Or
mm-hmm.
I'm too fat. I weigh too much for my size. Or I'm too stupid. You know, my father said I was stupid because I couldn't do math, therefore I'm stupid. So
mm-hmm.
we hold all of those illusions. And over time,
yeah.
each of those illusions has a specific area in your makeup where it goes. Maybe you banged your knee on a chair or something when you were 3 years old, and your mother
yeah.
said, well, that was clumsy. So whether you realized it or not, that idea of being clumsy is now starting to be part of your makeup. And maybe the thing, maybe you banged your knee or you tripped or you did something else again, and she said, well, there you are being clumsy. And I'm picking on a mom. Maybe it wasn't a mom. Maybe it was whoever, you know. But anyway,
yeah.
my point is that over time, saying this about you being clumsy sets up that kind of a vibration within your system so that now you feel
yeah.
that you have a propensity, to be clumsy. And the clumsy portion of you started out with your knee, so that is a handy place for your body to store any reference to clumsiness. So now your knee has got all of this vibrational energy going around it regarding clumsy. Well, if that isn't dispelled in some fashion, after a while you could develop physical problems with your knee, because
mm-hmm.
that's the way it works. It works first as an energetic energy, and then it works down through to the physical.
Interesting.
So flower essences help us untangle these knots and awaken
mm-hmm.
to our true nature as unlimited co-creators with God. So we can let go of all this stuff that people and experiences over many lifetimes have led us to believe about ourselves. So that's one of the wonderful gifts that flower essences give us.
Interesting. So even in our current lifetime, within our etheric or auric field, we could still have residual gunk from past lives that we've...
Oh, yes, that, very much so.
That still may have an impact on how we, you know, feel about ourselves in this world here and now.
True. That's true. Very true. That's why if a child, for example, is very shy in this lifetime and comes from an outgoing family and you can't think of any reason why they should be shy, maybe they're shy because in several previous lifetimes things happened and they learned to be very cautious in the world. And so now they're here to try to let that go so they can interact in a more positive way with the world.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's interesting, isn't it? How mysterious how everything is so connected. And so in a sense we're talking here almost about a subtle reality that
well,
so often
yeah. And
we are not aware of, you know, consciously.
Well, that's just it. And if you don't mind, could I go on? And I think that will address your point a
perfect
little bit.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Okay.
I love it, Katrina.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's flowing.
You're a very gracious hostess. Our Earth is a school, and it's been designed by the angels and elementals, which are nature spirits, and Pan is the head of the nature spirits, to help us learn our life lessons. And to do this, we have to have certain illusions. So we buy into the illusion of life on Earth, and we forget where we came from and that we're really one with God. We're not separate, no matter what it seems like here. And so we forget this, and we go through lots of different experiences and lots of different lifetimes. But at some point during some lifetime, during our Earth adventures, we begin to awaken to our true nature. We want to see what's behind the stage. We're no longer as interested in the play as we once were. We're mm-hmm. more interested in what can help us let go of the illusion of the play. And
right.
so flower essences are wonderful tools for helping us do that, because every flower essence has an answer for a specific illusion of separation.
Interesting.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit more, or do you want me to go on?
Well, I just as we're speaking, I'm just, you know, getting these visions of my beloved flowers in my garden and in my childhood gardens. I'm just trying to relate, you know, how perhaps one flower could have a kind of a different and, you know, subtle healing energy than another, like the hollyhock versus the lily, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Because, as I understand it anyway, each flower species has had to overcome different problems, if you want to call them that, in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So because they did that, that is part of their vibrational makeup. And when flower essences are made, then that answer to the puzzle comes across in the flower essence for us.
I see. Because I have such an interest in folklore and myth and basically even my reading of some of the Victorian literature where they have actually given meanings to flowers, it all kind of makes sense, doesn't it, that certain, you know, lore has been established in relation to flowers. I'm thinking perhaps one of the infamous ones would be the narcissus.
Mm-hmm.
The narcissus, because it kind of bends over, it kind of reminds, you know, in the myth, of course, Narcissus bent over and looked in the clear pond to see his reflection, and the narcissus kind of bends like that too. You know, there's all kinds of lore and meanings to flowers that we perhaps have also kind of on an archetypal basis have, you know, in our unconscious, we've probably kind of absorbed as well.
Yes, I think that's certainly true. I think that's why humans are very drawn to flowers, and that makes flowers a natural healing modality, I think, for us more so than some other things.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting that in our greatest, most poignant life passages, there's most often a ritual of some kind that involves flowers, whether it be weddings or funerals. You know, there's somehow or other, by bringing in flowers, it definitely creates a different vibration. It means that something really special is going on. I remember my stepdaughter's wedding. She had the most beautiful flowers at the wedding, and I could hardly take my eyes off them. They were so lovely. And it made the whole, you know, it enhanced the whole experience.
Well, it certainly does. When I worked as a floral designer, some of the things, of course, that I had to do were for funerals and doing funeral flower pieces. And one of the ones that I did, an elderly gentleman called us and he requested a floral piece. And he said that this woman had been his friend from the time they were children, and mm-hmm. that he was very attached to her, and he always thought of a summer meadow when he thought of her, and he wondered if I could create a floral arrangement that would, you know, suit her personality. And I said, yes, I thought I could. So anyway, I did, and this was when I was still working for another floral shop. So mm-hmm. the floral piece was delivered along with others, and a day or two later, the phone rang, and somebody at the shop answered it, and they said that one of the customers from that particular order wanted to speak to me. Well, usually when we got a call like that, it meant something was wrong with the order. It didn't turn out like they wanted it or whatever. So yeah. I was a little anxious getting on the phone, but he came on the phone and he said, I want to thank you. He said, you captured her. He said, I just felt so comforted that those flowers represented her. So that's certainly an example of what flowers can do for people, and it's very remarkable when people take the time to be thoughtful about what floral gift you're giving someone, you know?
Right, right.
Well, if you don't mind, Beth, I'd kind of like to cover a little bit about some flower essences that I've used.
Oh, that'd be great.
And in order to get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the process of how flowers are turned into flower essences.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, flower essences that I've used, as I mentioned, come from Green Hope Farm, and they're organic, and they come from the gardens at the farm, and they're filled with a high level, of light and healing power and beauty. And because of this high vibrational rate, the essences that are made from these flowers have an especially high vibration. And the angels and the elementals, or the nature spirits, have designed the gardens, and they continue to provide insight and advice regarding the creation of new gardens and making essences from flowers that haven't previously been made into flowers. And then Molly and some of her staff have traveled all over the world at different times and made flowers from other places into flower essences, too. So that's exciting because in olden times when people used flower essences, they were pretty limited as to ones right in their own area, but we aren't. Today we can... You can use an essence from South Africa if you want to. So, another point I want to make is during the flower essence making process, the healing vibrational energy and wisdom of the flower gets transferred into a bowl of water. Mm-hmm. And when this transfer of energy is completed, the water infusion is stabilized with a plant called red shiso. This is what Green Hope Farm uses. I don't know what other makers of the essences would use, but they happen to use red shiso. And this is a plant from Japan. And it has kind of a deep magenta color. And when you get your essences in the bottle itself is kind of a deep, beautiful cobalt blue. And then the essence inside it is tinted with this kind of reddish, very pretty red color from the plant, and it also imparts a little bit of a taste to the essence, too. So after all of that happens, other steps follow, and they are overseen also by the elementals and the angel of flower essences. And if you would like more complete information about this, you can go to the website, and it's all right there.
Great.
And, I was going to talk about essences I've used. And, people might be interested in knowing when you can use essences. Well, essences you can pretty much use any time that you're feeling emotionally or mentally or spiritually out of balance, if for some reason you're just feeling punk and you don't know why or whatever, take a few minutes and go to a place that is calming and soothing for you, and then listen mm-hmm. to your own guidance and see what comes up for you, what might be a good essence for you to take. If you have no idea, you can certainly go to a flower essence website and scroll through some and see what ones appeal to you. If you can get your hands on a hard copy of the catalog, you can go through it and use it like some people use the Bible. You just open it up, and whatever page you open to, you trust that there's information there that will help you. So you can do it that way. You can also do it, if you use kinesiology, you can do it that way. But back to the essences I wanted to talk about a little bit, sweet pea is one that I've had some experience with, and I use it for sleep. And the other thing that sweet pea helps besides sleep issues is shyness. And
really?
So it can really help you to let go of some of those shyness tangles and knots and get out there and be in the world as you were meant to be. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting contrast, the shyness and the sleep.
I know it, isn't it? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Another one that I've used is pink water lily. And I was married for nearly 30 years. And in the divorce process, I left my home and I had to live somewhere else. And that was deeply traumatizing for me. And I also had to be functioning in the world and looking for a job and going on with life. And this pink water lily essence really helped me to deal with my grief and to put it where it belonged. And not that I negated it or denied it or whatever, but it helped me work through it in a constructive way so that I wasn't continually like a squirrel in a cage going over and over and over the same stuff. So
yes.
I think pink water lily is wonderful for helping with that, any kind of grief issues.
I would imagine there is a sense of nurturing yourself with the essence, consciously nurturing yourself. I know in times of grief it's so important to be a little extra kind to yourself because it's such
a
difficult.
That's so true, Beth. And the other thing that you mentioned about consciously nurturing yourself, in our culture, for the most part, we aren't really taught to take command of our own health. We're supposed to turn it over to the doctor. Maybe not quite as much as in times past, but still, you know, the doctor is the one. Not to say the doctors don't have their place. They certainly do. But it's our body, and we need to learn to take responsibility for it. And part of being responsible is choosing some healthy modalities to assist you in getting through some rough times in your life.
Absolutely. That kind of brings me to the question of, are there any possible side effects to the essences when taken?
No, that's one of the wonderful things about about flower essences and side effects. There aren't really any. Flower essences are not chemical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're vibrational. So it's not like you go to the drugstore and they prescribe whatever for you, and then you have to be careful about the dose or whatever. Flower essences don't work that way. As I said, they work on a vibrational level, and so if you're going to be taking an essence, you need to, first of all, try what essence calls you, and then maybe try one drop to begin with. But if your guidance system tells you right off the bat to take three drops, that's perfectly all right. It's not going to do anything bad to you because that's not how flower essences work. They don't work that way. So, and they're highly individual.
How do you take these drops? Do you take it right from the bottle?
You can put some in water. You can, some essences, like lemon balm, for example, is good for awakening your third eye in the middle of your forehead. Mm. And that one, the angels have instructed people that use lemon balm to put that in the middle of their forehead where the third eye is on the skin, on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, for animals, you can put it, rub it into the pads of their feet, like for dogs or cats, or behind their ears or on their ears. You can put it in their water dish. So there's a wide variety of ways you can take essences. Another good way for children to enjoy essences is you can put a few drops in their bath water, because water is a wonderful conductor for the essences.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, and kids really seem to respond well to essences and enjoy them. And some kids even are able to, you know, if you order a box and it comes and you're taking them out of the box, they know right away which ones are for them without you even mentioning it. So
interesting.
Well, they're tuned in to, you know, to the messages, to their world in ways that we can be, but we've kind of forgotten. What did you want to say?
Oh, that's okay. I was wondering, you know, once taken, can one expect some kind of immediate results or sort of an eventual kind of healing process?
Well, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for me. And I know mm-hmm. that when I take them, it depends on where I am in my own development at the time. For example, if I was really, really distraught and going through all kinds of things, and I took water lily, the pink water lily, one drop in a glass of water was not going to do it for me. So
mm-hmm.
I might take three drops in a glass of water in the morning, and then if I was still feeling pretty strung out by late in the day, I might take a couple drops. And then if I woke up in the night and felt awful, I might have a drop or two then. But that was my experience. And as I got, further along in the divorce and grief process, then mm-hmm. I didn't need as much. And over time, after a while, what your body is doing is there again, is reading the blueprint so it can hold that vibration and you won't need to take the flower essence anymore.
I see. It's very good for me to know that, you know, certainly it's safe and, you know, effective for animals. I just got a new family member in my household. Her name is Trixie. She's a very big dog. And she's had a lot of trauma, I would imagine, from going from one house to another. Her former companion humans mm-hmm. had to break up their household, and they had to move into other subsequent places. And she's, you know, I'm sure confused. Why is she here, and what's she doing here? And, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm hoping that we can bond, you know, well. And, you know, what would you recommend to help us bond and help Trixie kind of get calm and happy in her new home?
Okay, there is an essence that's quite new, as I understand it, and it's called dog rose. And what dog rose does is it helps the person and their dog become more in tune with each other. And the dog and the human become more aligned with their purpose this time around on the planet. So it's quite a remarkable essence. So I think maybe you might try that with Trixie and see if that doesn't help. Another one that might be very helpful for her, there's a whole section on essences for animals, and a lot of these essences that are for animals you can also use on people. For example, there's one called New Beginnings, and this is a combination essence which helps animals when they have to, just like your dog, go to a series of homes and then finally end up in another one. And or maybe their companion person has died and there's only one companion person left or something, and they need to adjust to the letting go and all of that. So new beginnings is a good one to help animals.
And well, that's really good to know.
Well, I think it's very helpful to know these things because we love animals and we want to help them, but sometimes we just aren't aware of what kind of help might be out there for them.
Right. And I'm sure animals are sometimes more conscious of vibrations than we would ever know, and even more so than ourselves. I can tell you she is so alert to the subtlest of noises in the neighborhood.
Well, you know, a lot of animals today are on hyper alert. It's been explained to me that they feel like you would feel if somebody took a fingernail and scratched it on the blackboard continually. And that's the way they feel as a result of all the electrical vibrations going on in the world today, from TVs and cell phones and computers. And so there is an essence called Golden Armor, and it's a combination essence. A lot of different flower essences went into the mix, but it was, and keep an open mind, listeners. I know this may sound a little out there, but this is the information that I was given from Green Hope Farm, and they are very sincere in their beliefs regarding this, that it was presented to them as something that needed to be developed by the Archangel Michael after 9/11, because we were all in such a state and subjected to so much. And so they put it together, and it's out there for people to use, and it's wonderful. I use it every day myself. I give it to my cats. I encourage you to give it to your animals, certainly, because it does help with all that they're subjected to. And if you work with computers or anything like that, it's very helpful.
And you said that was Golden Armor?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Good to know.
Back to animals and some of the other things that might help, there's one other one I'd like to mention, if you don't mind, Beth.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, it's called jealousy.
And jealousy?
Yes. In my household, I have two cats. They are sisters. Oh. They're from the same litter, but they, for some reason, go through periods when they're jealous of each other. And they act like they don't even recognize each other. They're hissing and spitting and carrying on and all of this. So when that comes around, I use jealousy on both of them, and it tends to calm them down, and then they seem to recognize each other and get along with each other. And so I don't know what sets them off or why it seems to be kind of cyclical. But anyway, jealousy helps.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, do you just put it in their water?
Yes, I can put it in the water dish. I can put a little drop on their fur and tell them to groom it in. They've been with me now enough so they know when I say groom it in after I put a drop on them, that's what they do. But if your pet isn't used to you, you know, communicating in that way, then, you know, pet it in yourself a little bit to get it started. And most animals, if there's something wet on their fur, are going to groom anyway because they want to get the wet off.
Right. And would there ever be a case where humans would apply the essences topically?
Certainly. Okay. You can.
Would it be combined with a lotion or something? Or maybe that would take away that vibrational integrity, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't combine it with anything. You can use jealousy yourself and put a drop or two in water, you know. If you have a sibling, even as an adult, and you're feeling jealous for whatever reason, and you know you're going to spend time with them, take a drop or two of jealousy and see if that doesn't help your relationship or help you to understand. Maybe it will help some of those tangles you have around the relationship from, you know, many lifetimes spent together and lots of stuff you built up you didn't realize.
Yes. Here again, we come back around to conscious awareness. You know, to kind of, it takes, I would imagine, some inner work to know what it exactly is that you need the essence, you know, to help balance out. So
yes.
I'm sure it, yes.
And you can use your emotions as a good clue, you know, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling stressed over an issue, all of that kind of thing is information. And then you can go to a website or go to a catalog and flip through and see if you can find something that addresses your issue. And one of the main things you can do before you even start that is ask your own inner guidance, because we all have inner guidance, whether we choose to listen to it or not most of the time. If we tune in, if we tune into that on a regular basis, after a while, you're going to fine-tune it, and you'll be able to get some good information about what is best for you to be taking or doing in any particular situation.
Yes. A little while back, you mentioned something about kinesiology.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if all of our listeners quite understand what that means.
Well, I can only speak from my experience of kinesiology. When I went for kinesiology treatments, what it is your body will react in a yes and no fashion as to what is good or not good for you. For example, if you hold your arm out at shoulder height, and then you ask a question about a particular food or something, whether or not that might be good for you or not good for you, and somebody else tests your arm in the regular state to see how far they can push it down, in other words, what your resistance is. But then if you put the food right there or in your fist, so you're holding it, and then they try your resistance. If your resistance goes right down, then obviously that food at that particular time in your life isn't a good food for you. So that's one example of kinesiology. Another way that some people do it, and I don't know if you would actually call this kinesiology or not, but it's a way that some people test things, is you can take, there again, a food, and it doesn't have to be a food, it could be anything, and hold it in the area of your heart and just ask your question, you know, is this something that is nurturing for me at this point in time? And if your body, you have to know what your body's signals are. I mean, sometimes a yes is a forward for some people, sometimes it's not. And sometimes a no is a backwards, that your body kind of goes backwards a little bit. You sort of rock back a little bit on your heels. But for different people, it could be different signals. So you have to learn your own signals for yes and no. But once you've established that, that's a nice way to be able to test whether something is something you need at that particular point in time.
What you're describing reminds me a little bit of working with a pendulum. You ask the pendulum, is this something nurturing for me? And depending on which way it goes.
And that's another tool that people could use if they're comfortable with that, certainly. Yes, that's a good point to bring up.
So, you know, as we're speaking, I'm just beginning to have so much more of a sense of the actual divine presence that's clearly at work in flowers. And I wonder if you would want to speak to how we as humans may relate to flowers in a kind of more respectful and acknowledging way of their divinity.
Certainly, I'd be happy to do that. One of the things that all of us can do is when you go out in nature in a beautiful spot or a spot that's soothing and comforting for you, just sit there and let all of the things that you've recently been doing, or maybe all of the worries that are squirreling around in your head and all that kind of stuff, feel that just kind of drifting away, and sit there. And then see what comes to you. You may not get anything. You may feel a real sense of peace. you may suddenly be drawn to look at a particular plant or a particular blossom. And if you are, just go with that and let it be what it is. Don't try to take it apart and say, oh, well, this or that or something else. Just be with it. And after you get comfortable doing that, then you can start to really open up a dialogue. If you have your own flowers in your own garden, go out to your garden and say, you know, hi, flowers, I'm here. Do you want to say something to me? I mean, it sounds a little silly, but you can do it telepathically. You don't have to be mumbling to the plants if you don't want your neighbors mm-hmm. to hear. So you can do it that way. And over time, you develop a more comfortable way of relating with other life forms telepathically instead of verbally.
Yes.
And as you do, then you're...
It's more from the heart than the mind.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
And when... I know when my nephew's children were little and we were going to go out and pick some mint for some mint tea, I guess it was, and so mm-hmm. they wanted to help, and I said, well, sure, you can come along. So we went out to the mint patch, and, of course, they were going to take this leaf and that leaf and some other leaf, and I said, well, why don't we just wait a few minutes and stand here, and let's get quiet and ask the mint which leaves would like to be used in the way that we're going to be using them in this tea. So they stood there for a while, and the little boy finally said, well, I think this leaf and this leaf want to be used. I said, that's fine,
oh.
And pick them very gently, and he did. And then the little girl had been standing there quite a while, and she said, they all want to come. They all want to be used. And I said, well, that's wonderful, you know. So that's just something fun you can do with kids, with plants.
Absolutely.
There is a cleansing and a clearing process that we can all be part of if you're drawn to doing that. Over time, land, just like our bodies, stores traumatic events and area mm-hmm. battlefields, areas where murders, whatever, have happened, and even your own backyard, because you don't really know the whole history of your land from the time it first was land, can hold all of these traumatic things. And you, as an evolving being, can help to let go of that toxicity in the land. And there is a process that you do that in asking the help of Pan and the elementals and angels and various others. And that's one of the wonderful things that we can all start doing, because you may think, well, I don't have the money to give to Greenpeace, or I don't have the money to save the polar bears or whatever. No, you may not, but you certainly can learn this cleansing process, do it on your own land, and then do it when you go to a park or an especially nice place you like to go that's in nature that may be in need of a cleansing, because so many people use it all the time. So the more that we can open ourselves up to what we truly are and the partnerships we can have with other life forms, if you want to call them that, but really they're not, because we're all part of the whole, I think the more purpose you get out of your life. I mean, yes, it's nice and needful to have a job that's rewarding and gives you pleasure, but something mm-hmm. like this is a way that we can all contribute to a better life for our children and our children's children.
That's great. We can contribute maybe to a little bit more honoring of nature, and contribute to a little part, a drop of water, you know, to world peace.
That's right. I'd like to share something, speaking about water, that happened with me and my sister. And we live in an area where there are some waterfalls, and it was in... I guess it might have been in the summertime when we went. Anyway, we went to this one waterfall, and it was a very beautiful area, but there was hardly any water flowing over the falls. Mm-hmm. And I had recently learned a little song to sing to water. And so I taught it to her, and we sang it to the waterfall. And in the process of us singing it, more and more water started flowing over the falls. We were just amazed. I mean, it wasn't like it didn't turn into Niagara Falls,
yeah,
obviously. But still, there was a definite increase in the water. So we both knew that the falls, the diva of the waterfall, appreciated us communicating with her in that way, you know?
That is amazing.
So miracles and magic and wonderful things are you know, just out there. You just have to be open to that and well, I guess just be open. This is what I'm trying to say. Oh, there's one other thing, Beth, if you could mention it briefly. Flower essences aren't something that you can only use by themselves. You can use flower essences before and after massage. You can use it before and after a Reiki treatment or an acupuncture treatment. And they will just help enhance the goodness that you're receiving from the other treatments.
Oh, that's great. So it can be, like, used in complementary ways to actually, you know, even make the effectiveness of the massage or the acupuncture or Reiki even more profound.
Yes, they're synergistic, in other words. Yes.
Oh, that's really good to know. Now, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with the listeners that you think might be helpful for them? Because believe it or not, we're almost concluding our show here.
Really? Oh, my goodness. I've rambled on for quite a while. No, I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover, and I just want to say thank you so much, Beth, for giving me this opportunity, and thank you, listeners, for opening your hearts and minds to what a wonderful planet and a wonderful creation we're all a part of.
Thank you again, Katrina, for sharing your wisdom with us.
You're so
and this
welcome.
Brings And this brings to a close another episode of Your Turn to Speak. I hope all of my listeners will allow their voices to be heard.
You have been listening to Your Turn to Speak with host Beth Miller. Each week, Beth features guests whose important views are often overlooked in the mainstream dialogue. You can listen to this show again at freespiritbroadcasting.com. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for another live, inspiring conversation on Your Turn to Speak.